Well, good morning, everyone, and great to be with you here. If we've not met, I'm Matt King, one of the leaders here at church, and of course part of the congregation. Just a note before we start with the sermon that there will be a whole church meeting, what was previously called a congregational meeting, I guess, 11:30 in 2 weeks' time. There's papers on the welcome desk, which is really, the papers really focus on the budget. For next year, so that's really important for us to be looking at that and thinking of that in advance and coming along. So do try and make sure that at least someone from your family is here, if not more than one. And we'll also be talking about thinking a lot more about the building as it begins, you know, as we look to it opening up and what we refer to the building as and how we operate in that context as well. So do come along so we can have as many people. The afternoon congregation, the morning, will be gathering for that church meeting 2 weeks today, 11:30, shortly after this meeting. Let's pray before we go any further. Father God, we pray that we'd have ears to hear today. Father, you're speaking. Father, we pray that you'd help us to listen and listen well. And go away not just informed but changed by your word. And we pray that in your name. Amen. So do keep your Bibles open or open them again. The passage I don't think is going to appear on the screen behind me. If you've got a red Bible in front of you, it's page 839. That's the page to turn to. And I'll refer to it a lot as I guess is appropriate for a sermon. So imagine for a moment, a family in a church somewhere in the world has quadruplets, four children at once. You know, the parents are now holding on to dear life to the promises that the children are blessing. You know, they've got four of them. Dear God, please, you know, help me believe they are a blessing. Four at once. Those children grow and grow, as children do, and they're raised to know and love God. Imagine those children taught the same things as each other. Of the same things of God at home. They attend the same church, the same Sunday school, the same youth group. They taught the same Bible in the same way. They've had conversations after church with those who are mature in the faith, and each of them are shared in those conversations. They've attended the same evangelistic talks. The Word of God has come to them, and they've heard it equally. They've heard of the love and grace and mercy of God, and it was offered to them equally, and they heard it equally. Now, imagine those quadruplets get older and the first child follows Christ, and 40 years later, they're still following Christ, eager to open the Bible and apply it to their life in their own home and as they come to church, as eager as they were when they were 16. The second child sets off to follow Christ at great speed, but 40 years later, things have got hard and they're drifting out the door. They're certainly at the fringe. The third follows Christ, but over time gets more interested in having fun. And 40 years later, their faith is tragically no more mature than when they were a new believer. And the fourth, well, they just walk away from it all, showing no interest in Jesus at all. Four men or women, the same environment, the same word of God. How did they end up in such a different place in terms of faith? Well, four friends invited to Christianity Explored. They hear the same word, but end up in such different places. How can it happen? We understand it happening with sport or music or business or wealth. People have got gifts and skills, and we understand that they express those in different ways. But when it comes to faith, how can it happen? Well, Jesus says there's two things at play when it comes to faith. We know that there's a mystery in how God chooses to act in the lives of people. In his wisdom, high above our wisdom, he chooses to act in different ways with different people. But there's something else at play, and that's what we see here today in Luke 8, where Jesus says, when you hear God's word, it's important that you listen carefully because how you listen matters. He says it actually quite forcefully in this passage. He says, be careful how you listen. Be careful how you listen to God, he says. And he says to be careful because it's possible not to be careful. It's possible to be careless. And if you're careless, who knows where you'll end up. That is, it's the quality of our listening to God's word. That quality influences what happens to our faith. And so Jesus asks you and me, how are you listening? And that brings us to the big idea for today. If we listen to God's word, we'll keep going and growing. But we need to listen carefully, since there's loads of noise drowning him out. Now today we're going to look at that passage in Luke 8, page 839 in the Red Bibles, where Jesus tells the parable of the sower, or more rightly, the parable of the soils. It's about listening carefully. So I encourage you to listen carefully today and don't miss the very teaching point of the passage. And my first point is that God has something to say to those who will hear. Now have a look at Luke 8, verse 1, where Jesus begins, or that Luke begins with what seems like background information. Have a look at verses 1 to 3. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. So Jesus is out proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. With him, the disciples and a group of women who, it says, had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. So it's quite a remarkable group of people, isn't it? People who have been ostracized in the past, excluded because of being, you know, they had evil spirits and diseases that kept them away from society. But Jesus had set them free. And now these women, as it says at the end of verse 3, they're helping to support Jesus and the disciples out of their own means. And so out of that back bit of context, Jesus cuts almost directly to the parable of the soils. Read with me from verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And so the farmer is sowing seed. And apart from the seed that fell on the path, the other seed, it says in verse 6, it came up, it grew up in verse 7, in verse 8, it came up. So the seed in 3 out of 4 cases grows, but only the seed that fell on the good soil grows to produce a crop, grows to maturity. That's a simple story, I think, that home gardeners will identify all around the world. But what does it mean? Well, fortunately, in this case, Jesus doesn't leave us guessing, does he? Read on from halfway through verse 11. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God, and those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they don't mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. And so verse 11 says that the seed is the word of God. And the places where the seed falls represents people who hear. You see that in verse 12, those along the path are the ones who hear. Or in verse 13, are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. Or verse 14, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. And then verse 15, but the seed on good soil stands for those who hear the word. So Jesus is not sort of letting us guess here, is he, what he's talking about? And so God is speaking, and the parable is told to those who hear. But let's not rush past that first part, that God is speaking. The God of the universe has something to say, and he's speaking. The seed is the word of God. God doesn't leave us in silence. He speaks. He communicates to us. He reveals who he is. He reveals what he wants. He speaks of his love and his mercy. He speaks of forgiveness and hope. He speaks of, well, of glories beyond imagination, of the chance to know God, a chance for a fresh start, a chance to know unconditional love, love that we've never experienced before. He owes us nothing, but he still speaks. He doesn't need to speak. He's not lonely in need of a chat. He speaks because he wants to reveal himself to us out of love. And humanity has the remarkable privilege to listen to him speak, to know him as he reveals himself. The seed, you see, is the word of God, and God is sowing it. And then Jesus talks of the people who hear what God says. In fact, this parable is only told, really, to those who hear God's word. Everyone in the parable hears. Did you notice that? That is, it's told to us. It's told to people who hear the word of God, people who have heard the word of God through church or through school or through family, that Jesus is the risen Lord of all, people who have heard to turn from their rejection of God and accept his mercy and forgiveness and love, people who have heard the call to know his profound love, people who have heard the call to turn from worshipping created things to worshipping the creator of all and worship him with all their lives. And to that group of people, to those who have heard, Jesus tells this parable. Not to people who haven't heard. Yeah, he's speaking to those who have. And that means something very important for us here today. And I want you to think carefully about that. God is speaking, and the way in which we listen is captured in these four types of soils. Every one of us here today is in this parable. And the first question that Jesus wants us to be thinking today is, which of the soils am I? Perhaps, in fact, the most important question you'll ever be asked. Which of these categories of hearers of the word of God, hearers of the love and grace and mercy of God, hearers of the sacrifice of Jesus, hearers of the call to follow Jesus as Lord and to not look back, which of these soils are you? So let's look at those four groups of people a bit more closely. Look again at verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. So there's a group of people that even as they hear, the word is being stripped away from them. As it goes into their ears, it's stripped away. The hearers are hearing, but it just doesn't cut through to their heart. They're in the room, and maybe actually they really want to believe, but it's just not sticking in some way. Or maybe they're just counting the bricks up and down the wall because it sounds stupid and boring, and they're only here because they have to be here. They don't see the value of what God is saying to them. The second group of people are the ones, in verse 13, who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. And so this group of people start really well. They do pro-faith. They have joy in their hearts as they follow Jesus. But then things get hard. Maybe at school or work, the Christian faith in society is regarded as stupid or dangerous. They're rejected. They're excluded. They're regarded as being odd. They're ridiculed because of the teaching of the church that they belong to. They lose their job. And so it becomes easier to shrink back, to not follow Jesus. And this group tragically falls away. They wither, it says. And there's a third group of people. They're the ones who, it says in verse 14, that the seed fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they don't mature. So this group of people hear, but the worries of life rise up. The desire to live the good life rises up. The relaxed life, the comfortable life, it rises up and it gets in the way. They like to sleep in. They like to get away. They like to not get too committed. They see the opportunities of the world and they want to live that to the full. They want to give their kids the best. They got worries to banish and fun to chase. Let's be clear, all of the hearers have the worries of life. All of us do, don't we? But this group of people look to minimize those worries rather than seeking the comfort and guidance of Jesus in their worries. And that process, that approach, chokes their faith. And so they don't mature. If this group were newborn babies, they'd be said to be failing to thrive. And then there's the fourth group. Have a look at verse 15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. So these people don't just hear the word, they retain it. It sinks into their hearts and minds. It doesn't pass through them or by them. It's not set aside by them. It stays with them. It's stored up inside of them. And it doesn't just stay in them, it changes them. It causes them to persevere. And by persevering, they reach maturity. They produce a crop. Four soils. Which one are you? Now, there's only one soil, as you've seen, that allows the seed to grow into what it is meant to grow. The first plant never grows at all. The second plant withers. The third is choked. But the fourth produces a crop. And while he doesn't say it explicitly, it's clear from what Jesus says isn't it, that he wants everyone who hears to produce a crop. He wants everyone who hears to grow to maturity. So, which soil are you? Is your faith being overcome by the worries of the world and the desire for the good life? Did your faith start with zeal and joy, but now you think about it, it's a bit of a shadow of what it once was? Maybe you're drifting out the door. Maybe faith is just getting a bit awkward and hard. Maybe you're no longer compelled by reading the Bible. Maybe the gospel just seems boring and a drag, and you're here because you're expected to be here. Or are you listening carefully, expectant as the God of the universe speaks by his word? Or maybe a mix. Whatever you are, you're at least one of these soils, we all are, and Jesus asks, which soil are you? But having asked that question of us, he warns us not to be in soils 1-3. He warns you to be careful how you listen. And that's my second point. Have a look at verses 16-18, where he goes on. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Now, verses 16-18, at least on my first reading, didn't obviously fit with the parable of the sower or the parable of the soils. But the next verse makes it clear they must. Have a look at verse 18. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Now, so Jesus is still on the same theme, isn't he? So the conclusion of verse 18 is that we should be careful how we listen. Jesus says, be careful how you listen. That's the point Jesus is making. When God speaks, listen carefully. But what about verses 16 and 17? Read again with that idea in view. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and there's nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. So who here in the passage that we've been reading is putting a light on a stand to enlighten people? Who is going to bring everything into the open? Well, isn't this about a God? Doesn't God speak and the light shines? Isn't it God who's going to reveal everything that is concealed? Isn't it God who will show how well we're listening to him? It will be revealed. It's going to be brought out into the light. And so in verse 18, when Jesus says, be careful how you listen, this is not advice. He's warning us, isn't he? He's saying, God is speaking great things, a light on a stand. He calls us all to come and see this glorious light. But he's also saying that if you're not careful how you hear and what you do with God's word, if you ignore this great light, then that's going to be disclosed. In other words, even though the person sitting next to you may not be able to tell how you're listening, God knows and God cares and God's going to reveal that. God's going to disclose it. He's going to make it clear which soil you are. He's going to make it clear how you're listening. And the real sting in the tail is at the end of verse 18, actually. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. So Jesus says to all of us, because we've all heard what God has to say, haven't we? He says, be careful how you listen. And if you don't be careful, if you don't hold the word close, if you don't treasure God's word and retain it in your hearts, if you think it's boring or the pursuit of good life pushes it out for the love of money or the love of just the good life, pushes it out, then verse 18 says you're in danger. You're in danger that the word's going to be taken away from you entirely. It's a warning. That's what he's saying, isn't he? Be careful, be very careful what you do with the word of God. Because in his gracious and kindness, he's spoken to us. We didn't deserve it. Be careful what you do with it. I was traveling a couple of weeks ago, unusual thing, I know, and sometimes in airports they make announcements. They always seem to have terrible sound systems in airports, don't they? There's noise all around, there's crowds making noise, there's doors beeping, there's those little vehicles driving people along through the terminal, beeping as they go to get people out of the way. And then there's an announcement. And you're trying to hear, because maybe they called my name. Was that an announcement for me? And so you strain your ears, so to speak. You lean into the announcement. You tune your ears out of everything else that's going on around, and you tune your ears into what you want to hear. And so Jesus is saying, strain your ears to hear God's word. The noise of life, the activity, the busyness, it's drowning out what God is trying to say. And Jesus says, don't just sit there and let the announcement drift into the background. There's an announcement of eternal consequence and it has your name on it. He's calling your name and he says, listen carefully. Maybe your joy has drifted out of following Jesus. It was there when you were 16 or 26. But not now. Maybe there's more interesting things to think about. Or pressing things. Maybe it never meant anything. You hear about God's love and it's like water off a duck's back. And Jesus says, be careful how you listen. Lean into the announcement. Take out your earphones. Run closer to the speakers. Climb up onto the chair so you can get closer to the speakers. Tell everyone to be quiet because there's an announcement I need to hear. Try again to hear what is being said. The world and the devil are against you from hearing God's word. And so try again. God is speaking words that all of history has waited to hear. All of creation longing to hear the words of hope and salvation. The words that call you to come away from your distress and come away from your hopelessness. Come away from your confusion. Come away from your sadness and come to perfect love. To rest from the world, the world and all its weariness. To hope for the downcast, come away to comfort for the grieving, come away to forgiveness for the guilty, come away to community for the lonely, come away to the Father's arms that are open wide. We sing that wonderful song, don't we? Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Well, Jesus is calling. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. And that's just part of the glory of the message that we lean into, isn't it? Come to the Father and stay with the Father. Retain what the Father says. Treasure it and persevere. Do all you can to hear the message, because the message is precious and important and full of the most important, wonderful things. Things, in fact, that are just so much more wonderful than the things that you're trying to quieten down and drown out. And so he says, be careful how you listen. I was reminded of Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley, some of the most influential Christians in England in the 1700s. Susanna grew up hearing the word of God, and she learned to treasure it. John and Charles were just two of her 19 children. She didn't have an easy life. Her husband, though, abandoned her and the children for over a year because of a minor dispute. He spent time in jail twice due to his inability to manage money. Their house burned down twice. She homeschooled the kids. 9 of those 19 children died as infants. A maid accidentally smothered one of them. This woman had the worries of the world. Now, I've got no idea if she cared for riches and pleasures, but let's face it, the background noise must have been enormous. But Susanna was eager to know and love God and to hear the word and retain it. And so in the midst of the noise of the children and everything else going on, she would sit on a stool in the middle of her kitchen and put an apron over her head. And there she would listen to the word of God and him speaking to her and her speaking to him. See, at that moment, she strained to the speaker, didn't she? She leaned into what God had to say. She pushed out the noise so that she could hear God's word. She was careful how she listened. Friends, these are not small things. For us, the noise may be social media or overcommitment to work, maybe to pursue financial security, maybe for reputation. Maybe we've got an overcommitment to fun or sport or relaxing, or just a mindset that the Bible is boring because it reminds you of school. The noise may be loud, and Jesus is warning us, listen to God and listen carefully. Put the phone down and pick up the Bible. Uninstall the distracting app. Accept that your life on earth won't be without trouble. Put your kids' eternal good before their earthly comfort. Plead with God to renew the joy of your salvation that you had when you came to faith. Plead with him to speak louder so that your deaf ears will be unblocked. Perhaps for the first time, God, please, I want to hear this message. Unblock my ears to hear the goodness of your word. And next he goes on to show us what it looks like to really listen carefully. You see, to listen carefully means to be changed. Really listening to Jesus means not just hearing, it means being changed as well. And it means being changed day by day. That's my final point. Have a look with me at verse 19. Now, Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "Mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." So it's clear, isn't it? Jesus is still on the same theme. Yeah, he hasn't moved on. His biological mother and brothers are on the edge of the crowd. And he says, "My real mother and brothers are those who hear God's word." But there's more, isn't there? At the end of verse 21, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." You can't be a hearer of God's word and do nothing. A right hearing of God changes us. Changes us through and through, through our core, through our very being. The God of the universe is speaking to us, and he's got profound things to say to us and about us. And if we hear that, we're going to be changed. We can't just sit there as if it doesn't matter. Because if you do, you're one of the first three soils. You've not really heard. The noise has distorted the message. It's overwhelmed the message. Because the person who truly hears what God has to say, they put it into practice. They're changed by it. They strive to be changed for it. They don't do it perfectly, but they strive to. They hear the goodness of God's word and they want to give up their other passions and joys for better passions and joys. They cut off their sins. They grow in their knowledge of God, or at least they seek to, they desire to, they want to. They put in things, processes that cause them to do that. They prioritize meeting together. They learn to love and forgive their unlovable workmates and family. They become humble. They suppress the desire for the good life now, for the eternal life with Jesus. They hear the word and they put it into practice. And the parable says that these people are like people who bear a crop 100 times what they sowed. Imagine that. You know, imagine an investment that paid back 100 times. You'd say it wouldn't be true. But Jesus is saying it's true. There's an investment that you can make that pays back 100 times. Well, there's an investment that God's making that's going to pay back 100 times anyhow. There's crops dying, they're withering, they're being choked, they're never alive in the first place. And there's a crop that returns 100 times. It's goodness beyond our imagination. And we see such beautiful people, I think, here at church, don't we? When we see someone who has walked all their life with God, we see someone who radiates joy and peace and love. People in this church who have walked a lifetime with God and they've heard the word and they've retained it in their hearts and they've put it into practice, they've persevered, they're beautiful people. They die beautiful deaths. Some of them recently. People who have no shortage of joy in life and no fear in death, who love others and love to love others because of what they've heard from God. They didn't start that way. Of course they didn't start that way. But they finished that way because they leaned into God's word and they retained it, they treasured it, and it bore fruit. And the striking thing in these three verses is that Jesus' mother and brothers are not listening. They weren't with the crowd. They weren't with the inner group of disciples. They were on the outside calling Jesus to come out to them. They're standing at a distance asking Jesus to come out. And I'm sure that that's what Jesus is getting at because it makes sense of verses 1 to 3 where we started off. It sort of sat oddly at the beginning of the chapter, but I think this makes sense of it. Remember that ragtag group of women who had suffered all sorts of diseases and demon possession? And yet they'd come to Jesus, they'd heard his word, they'd been healed, and now they're in the inner sanctum leaning in with the 12. They're inside the room wanting to hear more. They'd been healed and they'd been careful how they listen and they were being changed by the word. And we see the way that they've been changed by the word because of verse 3. This ragtag group of women were helping support Jesus and the disciples out of their own means. You see, Jesus had connected with their wallets. Profoundly changed. They were complete social outcasts, and now they are leaning in, committed, fully committed to the mission of the gospel. And yet Jesus' own mother and brothers outside. These people rejected by the world, but loved by God, changed by God, and now changed so much that they're handing over their income to support the work of the gospel. You see, really listening to Jesus means being changed day by day, not standing on the outside. Growing and being changed is a necessary part of being a believer. Healthy things grow. Everyone else is withering, they're being choked, never coming to life in the first place. But those who listen and retain and persevere, produce a crop. So which soil are you? Or soils? And what are you going to do now with the command and warning of Jesus to be careful how you listen? Will you keep ignoring him when he speaks? Will you commit yourself to the pursuit of the good life here? Or turn away from that and pursue the joyous and eternal life of Jesus? We stand on the chair to get close to the speakers, as close as you can. Strain your ears, what you've not heard, to see the wonders, perhaps that you've not seen before. Because Jesus says there's wonders. The Bible says that angels long to hear these things. Will you sign up for Christianity Explored to find, you know, to sit down and seriously look at the scriptures, the biography of Jesus? Well, if we won't be the fourth soil, then heed the warning. Everything will be revealed. God's light will shine in your life, and what you did with his word will be revealed. Be careful how you listen. Friends, let's be those who are careful with how we listen, to listen carefully, to keep going. Let's be those who day by day are changed by God's word. Day by day, look to see fruit in the goodness of what he's doing in our lives, even 100-fold of goodness. And let's rejoice as we see it in the lives of our brothers and sisters around us. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would give us ears to hear what you've got to say. And we only add to that that you would give us ears to hear, hearts that retain, minds and hearts and bodies that are changed, and that we would persevere in what we hear. We pray that in your name. Amen.